Genesis chapter 43. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the famine was sore in the land. So it was getting worse, just as God predicted. 2. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, go again, buy us a little food. Now, Jacob seems to be forgetting the terms by which they can even go and purchase food. It almost seems as if he's living in the land of make-believe here, shutting himself out from the reality that was so unpleasant for him. Verse 3, Judah spoke to him, saying, the man did solemnly protest to us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Don't you remember us telling you that, Dad? Verse 3, Judah spoke to him, saying, verse 4, if you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food for you. The terms have not changed, Dad. Nothing has changed by putting this thing off. Verse 5, but if you will not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. In other words, we're not going to waste our time and our energy going down there without Benjamin because it's going to be fruitless. 6, and Israel said, wherefore dealt you so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had yet a brother? Well, Jacob is really strung out here, I think, because now he's not even thinking straight. These brothers have done a lot of things that are wrong, but telling this man that he had a little brother was not wrong. I mean, and they're going to respond in that manner. Verse 7, they said, the man asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And we had no way of knowing. We just answered a simple question. You know, their father has plenty of reasons to be angry at these brothers, but telling them that Benjamin was their little brother was not a reason. Verse 8, Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. In other words, you know what? This situation, this problem, isn't just Benjamin's problem. I know you don't want to lose Benjamin, but you're going to lose everybody. It's taking sending Benjamin down there with me is not a good thing. But it's not a good thing just to sit back and do nothing either. You may lose Benjamin if you send him. But if you don't send him, you're not only going to lose Benjamin, you're going to lose everyone, including yourself. Verse 9, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall you require him. If I bring him not to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. Yeah, you can hold me personally responsible. Which is fine of Judah to say that, and he may have meant well, but it's not going to do any good. It's not going to make Jacob feel any better. 10, for except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. He's going to know something's up. This is just adding to the look of guilt in the eyes of this man down in Egypt, is what Judah is saying, because if we certainly would have been a family, now this is thinking from Judah's perspective, if we certainly would have been a family like we told him, we would have returned with our little brother, but the fact that we delayed is going to make him even more suspicious. Getting worse as time goes on. 11, and their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Take him a present. You know, we're going to try to seek his favor by being extra nice to him. 12, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Perhaps it was an oversight. So, you know, we're going to pay twice as much as what it's worth. You know, Jacob hopes that it was an honest mix-up that caused the money to be in their sacks the last time his sons returned with grain. Anyway, he sends double the money this time. Half for the first supply of grain and half to buy more. 13. Take also your brother and arise, go again to the man. So out of desperation, he caves. Sometimes, you know, when we are desperate, we do things that we would swear we would never do during good times. And I suppose that's the case. That's how it is. 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. His back is up against the wall. He has no choice but to do this and trust God and pray that God will bless him. Sometimes that's where God wants us to be. When we're in a situation, we're backed into a corner, we have no alternative but to pray and trust God. And those kinds of situations, if you really know the Lord, will draw you closer to him. 15. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. So it was a long time coming, but they're there, and they had the blessings of their father. 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." I think Joseph wanted to do something to bless Benjamin. He's probably feeling a little bit better about his brothers now that he sees that they have not hurt Benjamin like they hurt him. But he wants to at least bless Benjamin. I know that for sure. 17. And the man did so. Joseph did as Joseph bid. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. So he bade Joseph, and now they are in his house. And strange things just keep happening to these brothers. They got to be scratching their head. Why did he send us over here? Verse 18. And the men were fearful. They were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses." He's going to make us slaves. That's why we're at his house. I don't know how they arrived at that conclusion, that being asked to be taken, or being told to be taken to this ruler's house, meant that they would become his slaves. I suppose they figured that that was the only reason that they would be in his household, as if they were made slaves of that household. I guess it makes sense when you think about it. 19. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And they want to get something off their mind right away. They want to get something off their chest. They want to confess, is what they want to do. Verse 20. And they said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it back again in our hand." The first thing they want the steward of Joseph's house to understand is that they are not thieves, that the whole thing was an accident. And they're just hoping that he buys it. Verse 22. "And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. We're innocent. Please don't blame us for that. Please don't hold that against us, what happened the last time we were here." They figure they're in enough trouble with God and with everybody else. This guy from this leader in Egypt, And they don't want to be blamed for something that they didn't do. They've done enough to warrant the guilty feelings that they are experiencing. They don't want to have things made up about them, I guess. 23, and he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out to them. Well, that was a relief. When this guy says, fear not. God, your God has been in this. They must have felt very relieved. 24. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. So he's taking care of them. Verse 26. And they made ready the present against Joseph. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. So they brought those gifts that their father instructed them to bring, and they're getting ready to give that to Joseph, trying to buy his favor. 26, and when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And here again, they are fulfilling scripture. They're fulfilling the word of God, doing what they swore they would never do, bowing to Joseph. 27. And this is going to strike them rather strangely. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he yet alive? And all of a sudden, this man, this leader in Egypt, second in command, who had been so harsh on them the first time, is now treating them so well, even asking how they're doing. Boy, what a change in Joseph. And I think part of the reason for that, the big reason for that, is he sees Benjamin. And he knows that Benjamin is okay. 28. They answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And those are the words that Joseph wanted to hear. His dad was still alive and he's doing okay. 29. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. That was his little brother, his mother's only other child. And he blesses him. Verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his heart did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. He had to get out of there. Benjamin was his only full brother, and seeing him for the first time in 20 years and knowing that he was okay caused Joseph to lose it. 31. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. So he regained his composure. Very emotional time for Joseph. I'm beginning to think that he always knew by faith that God had his hand on him through the hard times. Now he's starting to see some of the fruit of it. 32. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. So there were three tables, one for Joseph, one for his Egyptian guests, and one for the sons of Jacob. And Joseph ate separately because he was an important ruler. The Egyptians wouldn't eat with the Hebrews because the Hebrews were known to eat cows, which the Egyptians worshipped. It's hard to find common ground with someone that eats your God. So they didn't want anything to do with a meal with the Hebrews. 33. And they sat before him. Look what it says. The firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. It was amazing. The brothers noticed that they were all seated according to their age. That's an odd coincidence. But of course, there was no coincidence at all. Every time they come down to Egypt, strange things happen. 34. And he took and sent messes to them from before him. But Benjamin's mess, his portion of food, was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. So they all had a nice time. This is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what they could ask, think, or even imagine would happen when they went down there. And I think Joseph is actually testing his 10 older brothers here. Because years earlier, they abused Joseph when their father was extra nice to him. Now Joseph is extra nice to Benjamin. So if the brothers even show a look of envy, even a tiny little look of envy or anger, he knows they haven't changed. Not being blessed as much as someone else, or having to go without what someone else has, is no reason to be envious or angry. You know why? It's because God is the one who gives us what is good. God is the one who gives what is good to people. And he divides good the way he wants. It's his business. And he is never unfair, because none of us deserve anything good. So Joseph is watching his brothers. How will they react to this? This story is far from over, as we will see in the next chapter.